Bytes. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another exciting episode on the Linode Data Bytes series. I'm your host, Neha, and I'm thrilled to take you on this data journey today. Our featured guest today is Suresh Chandrasekaran, Executive Vice President at Linode. With a wealth of expertise spanning business strategy, market positioning, revenue acceleration, and ecosystem development, Suresh is here to delve into the fascinating topic of connecting modern data strategies to business value. So get ready for a thought-provoking conversation as we explore this topic further. A very warm welcome to you, Suresh. Great to have you back on the show. So can you tell us a little bit about your role at Linode and your career journey within the data space?
Thank you, Neha. I'm glad to be back on your podcast, Linode Data Bytes. It's a great series and everyone should listen to it. My career at Linode has been since its inception. I've been here close to 18 years in various different roles, always supporting our founder and CEO in the growth and profitable growth, I should emphasize, of the company. My previous background was in software and for about 25 years total, but prior to that in Wall Street and management consulting. And I'm very, very happy to be in this space because it's an exciting space with a lot of growth potential, not only for Linode, but in the general space and always something new to learn.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Suresh. So since we'll be talking about connecting modern data strategies to business value today, let's begin with the basics. Can you talk to us about some main challenges that are holding organizations back from maximizing business value?
Yeah, certainly, Neha. You know, every C-suite person thinks about increasing the value of the business, and that usually comes from revenue, cost, expanding the TAM, reducing the risk, etc. I'll come back to those business value drivers in a minute. But what's really holding them back? What's really holding them back has typically been, in a traditional sense, if you go back, decades, the capital intensity of those businesses required you to be very capital efficient. But today in the modern business world, the two most valuable assets that companies have are people and data. Certainly some of the capital assets, IP, et cetera, are also very important. I'm not minimizing them, but people and data have risen in their importance. And so what's really holding people back is how to maximize that asset that they may already have access to, but not in the right way, which is data. And secondly, in an indirect way, how do I feed the data in the right appropriate moments to the people to make the people more effective? I'm going to focus on those two key things as something that has a huge amount of room for improvement. And the way you accomplish that is by focusing on a modern data strategy. And so it's not just for the data people, it's for everybody in the business to have a stake in what that modern data strategy should be so that they can break through these things that are holding them back.
Definitely. And I agree. I think the interplay between, people and data is definitely the most crucial element here. So moving forward, why should business leaders care about data strategy then? How do they map to business value drivers?
Yeah, let's take a minute to kind of identify what those key business value drivers are. I usually go with four buckets. The first one is increasing the revenue. And there are many different ways to increase revenue. You can think about upsell and cross-sell. You can think about introducing new products to the market, improving the total addressable market, increasing market share, increasing pricing margin. Again, many different ways in which you can improve revenue. That's the first bucket. The second bucket is reducing cost or improving profitability. Again, we can think about operational costs. We can think about IT costs. So we can think about people costs, but also capital efficiency, how well we're putting what we have to work. The third big bucket is reducing or at least managing the risk. Again, different types of risk. You have operational risk, financial risk, reputation risk. Some companies never recover from that. Geopolitical risk, so on and so forth. And lastly, it's a catch-all bucket, which I call strategic value drivers. That could be inorganic growth, such as M&A. It could also be sustainability and things like, being green, which again has other impacts. And then, of course, disrupting the business with new business models. So when you think about those four blocks, increased revenue, reduced cost, reduced risk, and enhanced strategic goals, each one of them require a tremendous amount of information to make the right decisions at the right time to bring new business models, for example. That's why every aspect of the business really depends on your data strategy. And that's why business leaders should really care about the data strategy. And they should at least be specifying to the other organizations, whether it's IT or analytics or chief data officers, what they expect to get from the modern data strategy.
Very well said, Suresh. So from a C-suite perspective, what are some other key characteristics that they should demand from a modern data strategy?
Yeah, I would like to highlight five key characteristics. Of those, I think two are exceptionally important, so I'll start with those two. The first I call speed, speed to access data. And speed can mean many things. I want time to market. How quickly can I get all the information I need for making a business decision, launching an initiative, or rolling out a new product, or whatever it is? And that is the time to market aspect. But it's also speed from the perspective of the how close to real time is the data. I don't want stale data. So speed is the first one. The second key characteristic that a modern data strategy should drive is semantics. I put that very high because if you remember, I mentioned that data needs to be meaningful and understandable for the everyday person in the organization, not just for a small group of analysts. So less than 20% of the data is being used today, and less than 20% of the companies have real access to all the data. So if we are able to bring the semantics of the data in a way that a finance person can understand the data, HR person can understand the data, product person can understand the data in their terms, regardless of the format, the technical underpinnings of where the data is coming from and what format it is, that semantic understanding is very, very important to enhance this. So speed and semantics are the first two. And I think they stand above the rest. But the others are also very important. How secure the data is and how you make sure that, you know, that will have a big impact on, for example, reducing risk, security, governance, et cetera. The fourth characteristic I like to highlight is sustainability. Now, you can take sustainability from obviously the energy consumption perspective, but you also need to think about it from a cost perspective. Today, people have gone crazy collecting lots and lots and lots of data, but they are unused. And they're copying the data 15 to 18 times, which makes it unsustainable even from an energy perspective, but certainly from a cost perspective. So we need to think about sustainable data strategies that can scale with the business without just scaling the cost, but scale the value. And lastly, I would like to bring the idea of self-service. So we need to have a data culture where everybody in the company understands the value of data, is seeking the data, and has methodologies to find it, whether it's a data marketplace or a data collaboration framework. So this idea of self-service is very important. And if I might add a last one, it would be the smarts. You know, how we infuse a lot of the data strategy with, you know, intelligence, whether it's machine learning or artificial, even to take mundane tasks in data engineering all the way to selecting the right data sets that you need for your next project and having a recommendation engine, introducing the smarts. So these are some of the key characteristics that I would say that the C-suite, they may not understand all the technology, but they need to demand this from the people who are driving the modern data strategy. I'll repeat them again. Speed, semantics, security, sustainability, self-service, and the smarts.
Thank you, Suresh. So in a nutshell, I think speed and semantics are definitely the most crucial foundational blocks that we have of building an effective data strategy then, correct?
Yes, I would say so. Why? Because, you know, I can have the most secure database. I can have the most, cost-effective processing engine. But at the end of the day, if I don't use that data at the right time, in the right hands, I mean, what good does all that do for me? So that's why I put those two first and as a differentiated strategy, because there are some different data strategies today that are exceptionally performant, highly scalable, but maybe highly centralized in such a way that when the right person wants the data, they have to go through multiple hops to get the data. So the speed is lacking. Or there are purpose-built data stores in 10 different places that only those specialists who understand that purpose-built data store understand. So it's lacking in that kind of the the ability for to transcend different types of users where semantics is very important. So that's why I put those two higher up than the rest. Not that the others are not important, but these are the two that from a business user perspective, again, to drive the business value that we're talking about, it needs to be at the very top of mind for the business people.
Perfect. Thanks so much for explaining that. So moving on to my next question, can you give me some examples of such a data strategy impacting business value?
Yeah, well, actually, it would be interesting to take each one of those business value drivers I mentioned and see just taking speed and semantics, how it will impact. So if I'm, for example, want to increase revenue and I want to understand the customer experience from a multiple perspectives, I need to understand the customer's orders with me. I need to understand the customer's past history with me in terms of whether technical support, the usage of the products that I'm or service that I'm selling. But I might also have external data sources, demographics, what other products the customer is consuming. So the more I have a overused word, a customer 360 view, I'm the better I'm able to increase my revenue. But for that, I need two things. I need, again, data coming from different sources in a way normalized from the perspective of whether I'm a customer service agent or a product developer of how to optimize what I'm doing for that customer 360. But secondly, the data needs to be sometimes very near real time. There is an intent to buy something. If I don't capture that intent, if let's say I'm providing financial services, and I don't understand that customer is planning to send their first child to college and needs to, you know, re-engineer their financial portfolio, that information needs to be very real time for me to act upon. So speed and semantics play into that. Reducing cost is another classic example. We have an example of Estes Express, a great case study where putting information about it's a big shipping company, less than truckload shipping company. They've even been featured on Wall Street Journal about how they're putting data in the hands of their drivers and how those drivers are using that information effectively, near real-time information, again, understandable semantic information that the drivers can make sense of, is helping them increase their operational efficiency. If I think about reduction of risk, again, we have a great example of a customer, the Department of Energy, the Nuclear Security Agency of the United States, sharing information across 8 different plants. The NNSA shares information, but without moving the data. So there's a very integrated way of looking at the data where they're able to understand how, you know, nuclear warheads are designed, produced, refurbished, etc. But the data never moves physically, which they used to do 20 years ago. And that basically increases the security of the data. And lastly, new business models. You know, we've had an insurance company like Asurion, as an example, you know, started off by insuring cell phones. And then very quickly, they learned about the habits of their customer. What happens when you drop your cell phone in a pool? And then you have to restore all the data. Well, some non-digital natives needed help. So they introduced a new service around helping like a concierge service for restoring your phone to its backed up state. So they went from just being an insurance company for the physical hardware to providing a set of additional services, additional business models, and increasing the TAM. We've had customers acquire other companies and quickly understand where the cost savings are, again, based on the data. And doing that very quickly, speed again comes into play. I mean, I could go on and on, but I think I've touched on examples of how speed and semantics invariably results in every aspect of increasing revenue, reducing costs, managing risks, and enhancing your strategic objectives for the business.
Definitely. And these were some really great examples, Suresh. Thanks for sharing them with us. So what are the recent trends and innovations in data strategy, including the role of artificial intelligence, machine learning?
Yes, you know, there's been a 2023 has been a phenomenal year in the use of artificial intelligence, particularly the more general version called the generative AI, which is bringing it down to the masses. So I think you will see a common theme here. These technologies are very powerful when you democratize it, when you make it widely available. And that's why data itself is very important. But coming very specifically to your question on recent trends and innovations, first and foremost, there is a recognition that data will be heterogeneous, and therefore the importance of logically managing the data has seen a big growth. Whether it's hybrid cloud or it's multi-cloud, combining structured and unstructured data, I think the technologies and the ability to do that have enhanced. Every step of the data journey is also seeing the benefits of automation through artificial intelligence and machine learning. So from something as simple as, identifying the schema of a data set that you just connect to, or suggesting a join or a transformation, or optimizing the performance executing the data, where is it best done, or recommending a data set to a new user that just joined the company based on their role and profile through a data catalog. So every step of the data journey, we're seeing companies provide assistance through artificial intelligence, so much so that today you can even write a natural language query where generative AI will translate it to SQL query, explain the SQL query to you, and then provide you the answer. So that this democratization goes hand in hand with automation and artificial intelligence machine learning. And I think we've only scratched the surface here. But the important thing to remember here is not to, all of these new advanced technologies, again, go back to the basics. If I don't have all of my information and all of the information in a well-formulated, normalized, semantic way, and it's available to me, easy to discover, easy to access in a timely fashion, then there's only so much AI can do. So again, the foundations of the data strategy that I touched on earlier are still very, very important in order to take advantage of these recent trends and innovations.
Definitely. And thank you for a very informative session on modern data strategies today, Suresh. So before we conclude, we have a quick Q&A round for you. Are you ready to get started?
Sure.
Tell me about an important scenario in your life that influenced you in your career.
Oh, wow. That's a deep one. Let me think. My very, very first boss, I was an accounting intern. And, those days we didn't have calculators and I had to tally books, long pages of ledgers, debits and credits. And I was wondering, why am I doing this? I'm trying to be a chartered accountant. And then he kind of instilled in me the value of, taking one task at a time and doing it exceptionally well until you can do it in your sleep. And then always, improving on it and getting to the next, broadening your scope. So if I reflect back almost 35, 40 years later, I've had many different challenges at Denodo, different new projects that I didn't have the experience, but using common sense and the sense of diligence and commitment, I think I've tried at least to do the best possible job on each one. And that really has been the thing that has influenced my career, because then you actually strive to do an exceptional job and you maybe even get 80, 90% of the way there. There's not only personal satisfaction, but it gets recognized and you're given the next opportunity. So my advice to anybody is to, whatever you touch, do it exceptionally well, or strive to do it exceptionally well.
Wow, wonderful story there. Thanks, Suresh. And my last question for the day is, what is a favorite travel destination of yours, if you had to name one?
I'm going to take a liberty of naming two things or more scenarios. One, I love any part of the world which has nice twisty roads, so I can take my motorcycle down that in a blissful way. And fortunately, our sales kickoff is going to be happening in Granada, Spain, and that's one place. The mountains right around Granada are fantastic. If I have a weekend, I'd love to go riding. And the other favorite travel destination for me is any place that has a great variety of street food and variety of fruits and vegetables. And guess what? Our sales kickoff is in Bangkok this year, and I'm going to be heading out there next week. So I'm looking forward to tasting some of the fantastic Southeast Asian street food. How's that?
Really cool. So you have some interesting travel plans ahead then. It sounds very exciting.
Yes.
Perfect. And thanks again for joining us today for this episode, Suresh. It was great talking to you.
Thank you again, Neha.
And a quick message to our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.